And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to MilSpouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm your host, Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm now the mom of four young adults, including one active duty son. I also wrote the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. Through my experiences, I came to believe that we're only stronger together. Whatever life is throwing your way as a military spouse, let's talk about it. Hello, and welcome to episode 60 of Mil Spouse Matters. This is your friend, Jen. I am so glad you're here. Whether you're a first-time or a long-time listener, I really hope that you're doing amazing wherever in the world this finds you. In fact, a quick shout-out to listeners in the UK and Canada. I love looking at stats, and so I've noticed kind of an uptick from those countries, so I thought I'd say hello. The top five countries of listeners right now are US, UK, Canada, Germany, and Japan. And of course, we're all over the world, but I just wanted to say hello, and thanks for listening. That's so fun. I just want to say thank you first for your patience. I had planned to put out two episodes a month this year, and between recovering from COVID, which I'm almost 100%, but it has definitely been slow going the last couple of months, and then being hit by the Snowmageddon and all the subsequent power outages here in South Texas a couple of weeks ago, it kind of put us off schedule. We had no power for the better part of about 5 days. So for the rest of you, or for those of you who also were going through it, my heart goes out to you because we definitely dealt with it. We were making baked potatoes in our fireplace. We were glad we had a fireplace and just kind of surviving there for a few days when it's 5 degrees outside and you don't have heat. Not fun. We've lived a lot of places that are cold, but we've never been through quite anything like that. So I am glad that is behind us. One thing I would love to ask you to do is to subscribe and share the show if you like it. That is one of the most helpful things you can do to help bring the podcast in front of other listeners. So a reminder, you can always find the complete show archive of past episodes at milspousematters.com. Just click on the podcast tab and you can find all the past episodes, show notes, and resources along with all the buttons to subscribe in whatever podcast player you're using, or you can just listen to them right there. Do you know about my book for military spouses? It's called You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, and I published it in 2016. It's a devotional format. It just is a helping hand, and I share some personal stories from my military spouse life of about 3 decades, some wisdom and resources, and well, I hope it's some wisdom. And then I give you some practical tips, related scripture, journal prompts. So if you would like to check that out, I always link to it in the show notes. And I am working on a second book for military spouses, which I don't have the title yet, but it will be stories of military spouses spanning from the Korean War era until now. And I really think that you will find that helpful. And I'll keep you posted on what's coming with that. So I wanted to share a couple of recent reader reviews from my book, You Are Not Alone. And this is from Kelly Dayhoff, and she said, currently facing deployment, this book was much needed and super helpful. Definitely recommended to military spouses and others who live the military life. And from Sarah Kopp, she says, exactly what I needed to read. I'm a dual mil turned mil spouse. After serving as a dual military for 13 years and then transitioning to a stay-at-home mil spouse, I thought I had the mil spouse thing down. But when a recent PCS move, number 10 in 16 years, I realized with toddlers and consistent lengthy TDYs and trying to run my own business, this book came at the best time. Quite honestly, the chapters in this book spoke to me exactly what I needed to hear. I've been on both sides of the mill spouse coin, seasoned and new. Sometimes I still feel new to the spouse role since I've only been out of the military for 4 years. Every single verse, chapter, and example hits home and allowed me to immediately apply it to my life for a new perspective on my day. I highly recommend this for any spouse, especially those going through a tough season. There is nothing too seasoned about a mill spouse who won't get a good reminder or different perspective on their current life. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Sarah and Kelly, for those really nice reviews. It's nice to hear that it is helpful to you. As a matter of fact, I have an episode planned coming up from a dual military spouse couple, from one of the spouses, and I think that might be something that a lot of people can relate to. What else is coming this spring? We are going to have our episode with advice for new military spouses, and then turn the tables a little bit and what younger military spouses wish older ones knew. So if you would like your tip or story to be included, here's all you need to do. You can go on Instagram. The podcast Instagram is at MillSpouseMatters. Send me a voice memo on messages and just all you got to do, I think you can record it right within there. So here's the two things I'm looking for. If you are a more seasoned spouse, share your advice for newer military spouses. If you are a younger one, just share what you wish the older spouses understood about you. You can also call my Google Voice and leave a message. It's 757-509-7241. It goes straight to voicemail and just leave your tip there. And I appreciate it so much. And I will include it on the show if I can fit it. So yeah, I really look forward to hearing from you guys. So today I'm going to be talking to Natalie Gross and Andrea Scott from the Spouse Angle podcast, and they are going to share what motivated them to begin the Spouse Angle, some of their favorite stories so far, and what's ahead. They both came from military families, and as you'll hear, they're professional journalists. If you're wanting to keep up with the latest news that affects you as a military spouse, you are going to want to subscribe to the Spouse Angle. We recorded this last fall, which you'll realize as we mention the upcoming election and the Spouse Angle's 1 year anniversary. Since I spoke with them, they've launched a good news show, which is going to be a monthly YouTube series, and they are encouraging people to send in their story ideas. They also launched season 2 of the Spouse Angle in February. So let's get right to my talk with Natalie and Andrea, and thanks for listening. So hello, everybody, and welcome. Today, I am talking to Natalie Gross and Andrea Scott from the Spouse Angle podcast, which is an amazing resource for military spouses and bringing you all the latest news. In fact, I was on Spouse Angle episode 26, When Your Kid Goes to War, where I talked about being a military spouse and then a military mom as our oldest went on active duty. So here's a little bit about my guests today. Natalie Gross is the host and producer of The Spouse Angle, a news podcast for military spouses and families that combines her experiences as a journalist with her upbringing as an Army brat. Natalie is also a freelance military and education reporter with stories in Military Times, The Washington Post Magazine, The Atlantic, Military Families Magazine, and elsewhere. She lives near Washington, D.C. with her husband and one-year-old son. Andrea Scott is the co-founder and editor of The Spouse Angle, where she brings her passion for military families by guiding content and driving news engagement. After growing up in a military family, her two younger brothers followed in their dad's footsteps in flying for the U.S. Air Force. Andrea also works as Marine Corps Times editor and hosts a weekly digital news broadcast for Military Times called The Briefing. A writer and editor, Andrea has had her work published by Chicago Magazine, Philanthropy Magazine, PBS, The Armed Forces Network, The War Horse, Nurse Week Magazine, Nokia, and more. You can find out more about the Spouse Angle podcast on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and at thespouseangle.com. So welcome, ladies. I really appreciate all that Spouse Angle is doing to bring accurate and really helpful info to military spouses. So I'm so glad to be talking to you both today.
Thanks, Jen. It's so fun to reconnect with you and be on your podcast.
Yeah, we're so glad to be here.
Well, I will let you guys kind of rotate introducing yourselves. So we touched a little bit on your background. So maybe share a little bit about yourselves and your background with military life.
Sure.
I'll go first.
Natalie, go first.
Okay. Yeah. So like you said, I grew up as an Army brat. My dad was in the Army band, actually. And so for 20 years. So he retired when I was 13. So I lived the first 6 years of my life outside of the country and then came back when I was six. Grew up in Hampton, Virginia, which is it's part of Hampton Roads, which people probably recognize as being home to Norfolk Naval Base. At the time when my dad was in, there was Fort Monroe, there's Fort Eustis, like, which I guess is now Joint Base Langley Eustis. So I grew up 5 minutes from there. Airplanes went over my house all the time. So grew up in a very military family, military community, went to school with a lot of military kids, went to church with a lot of military families. So that was really my life. And then got into journalism and I was covering education for the first part. And then in 2017, I got a job at Military Times, where I was covering mostly veterans issues and sort of the transition from military to civilian life. And then towards the tail end of my time there, I was covering more like military family stories and just really started getting a passion for the military spouse community. So that's kind of my background. I'll leave it there. And then I'm sure that will kind of lead into how the spouse angle started a little bit later.
Yeah. And just an aside, we retired out of Langley. So I know that area well.
Oh, okay.
My husband's last assignment. But yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a big military area. So what about you, Andrea?
Yeah. And just to connect back to Langley, that's where my father was stationed when he met my mother. So
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. She was on a weekend girls trip. And my father was an instructor out there on the T-30. So he ended up flying A-10s. He was an Air Force pilot. And I came along a few years later. and I like to joke. Natalie doesn't like my joke, but I think it's funny. But I always just tell people I'm the loser of my family, which is maybe not true, but I'm the only one who sits behind a desk. Both my little brothers are in the Air Force. And actually, I was a little distracted earlier. I'm sorry, my brother is landing from his first Middle East deployment, like right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a little sad because families aren't actually allowed to be there. Spouses are. My brother is not married, but I think his girlfriend is in the Air Force, and hopefully she'll get to greet him. So we've just been communicating with her, trying to get some gifts and surprises from us since we can't be out in Utah today.
But
So both my
welcome home to your brother.
Yeah, we're so glad they're back. So, both my brothers are in the military, and I've just always had a heart for it, but it was never necessarily my calling. And to be honest, I didn't really know about all the jobs in the military when I was younger. Natalie and I have talked about that before. My family was all aviation, and so I didn't really know the breadth of options for other jobs, especially for women. That wasn't really something I was exposed to. So I went into journalism and I knew that's what I wanted to do. I didn't really consider the military, but I've always had a heart for it. And so when the job at Military Times opened up, it was a perfect fit because what I'm passionate about is objective journalism and how important that is for our country. And I think especially right now, you can see that in trying to get them accurate facts and what's going on. But being able to do that and serve our service members has been a great gift. And then to take it a step further, both Natalie and I saw a need to have that sort of news coverage for our military spouses and saw that it wasn't happening. That's where we did a step up and try to serve military spouses in that way as well.
And I think it's so important what you're doing, and it's unique. It's very unique, the spouse angle. And you alluded to that as far as that was, your motivation behind forming it. But, coming from an idea to this is what we're going to do, I would love to hear the story of how you two decided to create it and work together on it and how it all came about. So whichever one of you wants to go first on that.
Sure, I can start on that one. So Natalie was actually about to work from home after she had her first child. She was going to do the freelance work from home life so she could be home with her babe. And we were having lunch actually, and she'd expressed her desire to do a podcast. And specifically was interested in doing that for military spouses. And I said, well, I've been wanting to do a military spouse news brand for a while. So it took some time with different schedules and my still workload, but we were able to make that happen. She got the podcast running, and then I was furloughed for a bit this spring, and so was able to get our new site up and running while I had time off of work. Motivation to get through that furlough in those first few months of coronavirus. So yeah, it's just been taken off from there. Natalie, I don't know what you want to add.
Yeah. So like Andrea mentioned, so I came back from maternity leave in 2019 after having my kid, and kind of a funny story, maybe TMI, but the pumping room where the nursing mothers had to go was the podcast room at Military Times. And so I had kind of, since grad school, and I took an audio storytelling class and I really loved it with a professor from NPR. And so it was fantastic. And I just had this like idea that I wanted to start a podcast, but I didn't really know how, what, or when, or any of that. And then I kind of just got this inspiration one day as I was pumping and decided, you know, like, hey, I'm kind of part of this military community again. I have a passion for military families, military spouses. You know, Andrea and I always talk, we're very inspired by our mothers having witnessed what they went through as military spouses as well. So started talking to some military spouse friends, and Andrea did as well. And we were just like, hey, is there an appetite for this? Like, is there a need for this? I guess, first of all, like, here's my idea. Let's break down different topics in the news, different policies that are going to affect military families or other current events. And let's break that down in a podcast format that spouses who are constantly on the go, as you know, Jen, you know, just in a format that maybe is a little bit more easily digestible than, you know, trying to scroll through Facebook and kind of decipher like what actually applies to you and what doesn't. So, and then, you know, the military spouse friends that I had talked to were like, yes, please, you know, I depend on my service member to tell me this, and the message doesn't always get translated to me. So we just felt like there was really an appetite for this. Like Andrea said, I had the idea for the podcast. She had the idea for sort of a larger brand. And so we decided to partner on that and launched 1 year ago this October. Oh. So it's been a year. It'll be a year next week.
I was just about to ask you, has it been a year? That's amazing. I love the match, you know, between the two of you to bring your strengths to start this and work together on it. Well, as you have come to your year mark, what has been the feedback from listeners so far?
It's been really, really encouraging, I will say. And, you know, one thing I've shared before with Andrea and is that, like, I guess I had imposter syndrome. I don't know if that's necessarily the correct term, but since we're not military spouses, I had always kind of wondered like how this would be received. But it's been so, like, the community has been so welcoming. And every time someone comments, says something like, thank you for doing episode on this topic that really resonated with me or something like that, that's just really amazing feedback to hear. And one example is a 2-part series we did on domestic violence in the military over the summer. That was episodes 35 and 36. And we had a few survivors reach out and say, thank you for paying attention to this issue. And it was good for them to hear someone else's story, because you often feel like you're alone in that. So one other example I guess I'll give that's a little bit more tangible was that our very first episode a whole year ago talked about a reimbursement program for spouses who transfer their licenses when they PCS. And at that time it was a $500 reimbursement. Now it's $1,000. But anyway, I had a spouse say, well, wow, I didn't know I could get reimbursed. I'm going to go apply now. And so this podcast literally helped someone save $1,000. And so that was just a really cool moment. And like right off the bat, validation that this was a project that was worth pursuing.
Oh, absolutely. What about you, Andrea?
Yeah, it's been truly very humbling, like Natalie said. I don't know if imposter syndrome, but just to be in this community and not be spouses, I think in some ways is hard because we don't know exactly what's going on. In some ways, it's been beneficial because I think we're able to maybe not get our emotions as caught up. So it's able to help us do our jobs better as journalists and try to dig into what's really going on, to meet more spouses, to have the motivation to kind of talk to spouses across the board, which is something that we want to continue doing. So we want to hear from you, spouses, and we want to hear your stories and know what's going on. It's kind of made us had learn firsthand what's going on, which is really humbling and really beautiful that all these spouses have opened up and let us be part, you know, hear part of their story.
I think that's great that you're hearing from listeners and that keeps you going, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the story about, you know, saving somebody $1,000. I love that. And can you share some of the other meaningful stories or moments you've had so far through this year?
Yeah, there were several episodes that came to mind as I was kind of thinking about this. One of the most emotional ones that we did that was emotional for me as well as my guest was the one we did with Krista Simpson Anderson around Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Krista is kind of a rock star in the military spouse community. A lot of people know her name. Her first husband was a Green Beret and he died. And then she remarried another Green Beret. So she's a Gold Star widow and is working with the community and just has such an amazing, inspirational story. Mm-hmm. And then another top interview that I really enjoyed was one of the most like memorable moments, I guess, was my interview with Brianna Keeler. She's a CNN anchor.
Yeah.
She's also a military spouse. A lot of people don't know that. So it was really cool to talk with her, both as a fellow journalist and as a military spouse who sometimes has to report on the military and what that's been like for her. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I'll just say one of the most meaningful episodes that's really left an impression, at least on me, with the loss with, and I think with a lot of listeners, because it's one of the most popular, was episode 31, which is a conversation on race and the military. Mm. And as you can probably guess, this was right around the time that the protests were ramping up in the wake of George Floyd's murder. And I had on two fantastic military spouses mm-hmm. who are Black women come on, and they were talking about, you know, how they were processing all of this and then where they felt like they fit within the military community. And neither had really talked about their feelings publicly before. So it was just kind of raw. And we were like all processing it together while mm-hmm. we were recording. And Andrea knows this. This was an episode that I almost didn't do because it just felt too hard. Mm-hmm. And I felt really inadequate being the one to facilitate the conversation. I guess, you know, but I'm so glad I did. And the feedback for that episode was just really incredible. A lot of people related to what these guests had to say. And I think it's a conversation that needed to be had. So I think that was definitely one of the most meaningful episodes and most meaningful moments for me.
I totally get that. I did a similar episode with a guest. And I remember before I hit the publish, you just kind of questioned, is this something that I'm adequate to cover? But it is. All we can do is keep having the conversation. So I think it's really important that you did that. So what about you, Andrea? What are some of the most meaningful stories from this past year for you?
Natalie and I actually just had a recap on our episode 50, our final episode of season one, where I joined her. We talked for 10 or 15 minutes about this exact question. And I think both of us were kind of amazed that the stories, like Natalie just mentioned, maybe the stories we thought were inadequate to touch or the ones that seemed the hardest are definitely the ones we remember the most. One of the first ones Natalie did was on the widow's tax and the repealing of that, but how that was affecting widows and, you know, Gold Star families and the tax and the, you know, the logistical burdens that they were having to deal with. That's something that I don't know anything about. And I remember, you know, that episode very well. I think an uplifting one that we both really enjoyed was a few weeks into COVID. Maybe it was even a month or two. I can't remember, but we did a Some Good News episode based on John Krasinski's YouTube show, Some Good News.
Yeah.
Really fun because there was a lot of really uplifting stuff happening in the military community. And I think we need to do those stories.
I was going to say,
maybe we could do that those
again with the election coming up.
Absolutely. But just to see how other spouses were impacting their communities. We talked to a spouse who had survived COVID, and that was still right before most people knew somebody who had it. You know, it was all just happening then. To hear her firsthand story and how her neighbors and her military community reached out and brought them groceries while they were sick. And it was just really beautiful and one I'll always remember.
Oh, I love that. Well, as you, I know you both have been in the publishing space and content creation for years, but I'm wondering if podcasting has been something very different. And maybe both of you can talk about the biggest surprise or even challenge with putting out a podcast every week. So Natalie, if you want to go first.
Yeah. Well, if I'm being honest, biggest challenging is scheduling because I work from home with now toddler. He's 19 months old. So it has been just insane. As I was kind of telling you, Jen, before we started recording. But so I, you know, nap times are like my golden hour. And so I'm like, I have 2 hours a day where I can like crunch in all my work. And I'm a freelancer too. So it's just trying to schedule interviews for those stories and then for the podcast. And then it's just been some really, really late nights, working weekends and all that just to make it all come together. But it's also like this podcast has also been really, really fun for me to do. So it doesn't feel like work. It's just like adding it on top of all the other stuff that I have to do. So I would say scheduling has kind of been one of the most difficult things. And then I know, Andrea, you can speak to this, but you know, Andrea's working a full-time job. So I think that's kind of been a little bit of a struggle too, but I won't speak for you, but anyway.
Yeah. Scheduling has definitely been hard. I don't think there's anything that I do in the news industry that is so consistent. I guess the briefing, our video show, we now do consistently, but all my deadlines are up in the air. So I'm used to like kind of running around like a chicken mostly at all times. And so poor Natalie, I've just gotten so many texts of I'm supposed to edit the podcast, you know, by Monday night or Tuesday morning. And it's Tuesday afternoon. And she's like, where's my feedback? I'm like, oh my gosh, story popped up this morning. And, you know, and just having to rearrange and get that done. I think we've done a good job, but she's definitely had to remind me a bit to stay on that consistent schedule. But I think even just learning the podcast world, Natalie has done an incredible job. You know, her husband has helped her and she has friends and team, you know, teammates who've helped get her the right equipment and get everything done. She's really done a remarkable job in the editing. And I'm still way behind in trying to figure out the logistics of podcasting, you know, and getting my own equipment and trying to get more involved. But as far as storytelling, I think that the heart of what we do is the same. And so that isn't hard. And that's the most important thing and maybe the hardest thing. Get right. But yeah, I can tell you that trying to figure out our RSS feed and which website platform could we use, it took us a very, very long time.
There's so much that goes into just one episode. So I feel that. And it, you know, it's very affirming for me to hear that from you all too, because sometimes I think this should not be taking me so long. Oh, no. But I think if you're trying to do it right and yeah, but I'm a storyteller at heart and that's, you know, it's my passion. I can tell that it's yours as well. And so you just do what you have to do technically speaking to get it out there. Well, what is coming for Spouse Angle? What do you see coming ahead? I know that Natalie, you talked about you're finishing up season one. So what's next for the Spouse Angle?
Yeah, we just released episode 50 this week. And so that will, you know, we've come up on a year now. And so we're kind of taking a little bit of a break throughout the holidays. And then in early 2021, we'll be releasing season two. Andrew, do you want to talk more about, you know, what people can expect?
So yeah, as Natalie said, we're taking a break for the holidays, well-deserved for her, but our content is not stopping as far as our web content and you know, what we're pushing out on social media. But Natalie and I are coming up with a video project news platform that we'll have hopefully coming out next year as well, which we're really excited about. So on that and just ways that we can reach the military spouse community better. I think the ways that we consume information is probably the ways that a lot of spouses do, you know, so finding a way to actually connect in a meaningful way, you know, instead of maybe posting an Instagram picture, how can we actually be part of your community? So we really are all ears. I said that earlier, but I want to reiterate that we want to be involved and know what would actually be helpful for you. I think we thought the podcast would be great because a lot of spouses are on the go. So they're in the car or, you know, they're their kids while they're in the kitchen. It's something they can listen to. And we hope that a video option will be helpful as well. But we really do want to be in the most impactful way. So if anyone wants to reach out at any time and have those conversations with us, we're really excited for that and what we can do. As I said, I think the heart of the content is what's important and we're just excited to experiment and try different ways to deliver it. That's content.
Well, I really love that you guys cover topics that are of the moment, but also you're positive as well. It's not all gloom and doom. It's, you know, it's a good variety of content. So I really appreciate that as a listener. you know, you don't hesitate to shine light on something that needs attention, but you're also, you have a positive framework that you're coming from. So I think that's very special.
Thanks. Yeah, we work on that because the news is, I mean, I'm in the industry, right? But it can be heavy. It's very heavy. As a consumer of news, as a teller, as a reporter of news, it's just sometimes like I have to look away. So we had an episode, I guess, last week, and it was with a spouse whose husband is deployed and she's trying to survive the pandemic with two young kids. And it was just so much like good information. I think a lot of people will relate to it, but it was also just very heavy because it's a big thing. And it can sometimes be a very dark and lonely and isolating thing, you know? And so we were just talking through that. And then I was like, well, I don't want to leave people on that note, you know? And I want to, so then this week, Andrew and I were like, okay, let's try to think of something like happier. So we did an episode with two military kids who are getting involved with Giving Tuesday Military and kind of have some ideas for how other military kids and families can get involved. So yeah, there definitely has been this like trying to strike a balance, especially with everything negative that's just been happening in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I just listened to the kids when that was great. That's so,
thank you.
That was really cute.
They were cute. They were so inspiring.
So inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that spotlight on military kids because they're my heroes, always will be. My grandbaby is a military kid now. So, yeah. Well, are you guys looking for guests or topic suggestions? And if so, how can people reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think our show, like we talked about, it is a little bit unique in that it's very much tied to current events. So while I do try to set episodes aside to do more one-on-one type of interviews to get to know a person, like I did with you for our Mother's Day episode, most episodes are pretty tied to the news. But one of the best things people can do if they want to be on the show is just email us and say, hey, this is happening in the news right now. Here's my own personal experiences. Here's my story. Here's why I'm an expert on this topic, you know, something like that, and how it relates to what might be going on. And if we haven't done an episode on it yet, I'll definitely take that idea under consideration. So yeah, I mean, if you have a great story that you want to share with the military spouse community, Andrea and I want to work with you to figure out a way to tell it, like she already said. So maybe it's not a standalone episode, but maybe it's having you as a guest along with somebody else. Maybe it's a blog post on the website, or maybe just having that initial conversation will come back to my mind sometime in the future when I'm trying to find guests for a topic. And then I remember, hey, this person reached out and was an expert in this. So I do kind of keep a spreadsheet of people who have reached out to us pitching their ideas. And so, and I have a list of experts I draw from. So yeah, if you want to be on the show, if you have any ideas, story ideas you want us to look into or pursue, you can email us at podcast@thespouseangle.com. Andrea, I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to add to that.
I think that was perfect. Yeah.
Well, as we get to closing, was there anything I should have asked you that you wanted to touch on?
Oh, gosh, I can't think of anything. I think this was pretty comprehensive.
What about you, Andrea? Okay. Well, good. Well, before we close, I've been doing this thing. When I first started the podcast 2 years ago, I did a quick five fun questions, but I figured since there's two of you, that's too many. So I thought it would be just be fun for each of you to share something that maybe listeners would be surprised to know about you, like a fun hobby or a special skill or something like that. So Andrea, you want to go first? I'm going to put you on the spot.
No pressure whatsoever. Fun things about me. Wow. I don't feel very fun, though I know I am fun. Well,
you are fun.
Let me think. This isn't super fun, but I guess the first thing that comes to mind is I coach high school track and cross country on the side, my other job. I've gotten very lucky that I can do all these jobs, which are things that I'm super passionate about. And one thing I'm super passionate about is mentoring young women and also running. So being outside is one of my favorite things. So the pandemic has unfortunately changed it a bit, but most Saturdays you'll find me out on a track or on a cross country course, which I think is fun. I don't know if anyone else thinks that's fun.
Yeah. But. And it gets you outside, but you are a busy lady. My goodness.
Yeah. Andrea, by the way, when I was working in the office with her, she would go run on runs on lunch. So like I would just eat my lunch and like kind of put on a Netflix show or something or read a book or just like turn my brain off. Andrea would go for a run and come back looking just as beautiful and glamorous as she had when she left. That's and I'm just like, I can't even keep up.
Well, but
I should have asked you guys to answer about each other.
But that's the way that you clear your head, Natalie. And the way that I clear my head, like the busier day I have, the more I need to go for that run and I can come back more focused and ready to go. But it's when I'm not able to get outside that my focus is wavering. So it's more so just for my own sanity.
Well, I wish I was more like that.
Very kind of you. I appreciate it.
I hate running.
Oh, I learned to love it after age 35. So you have some time. You can learn to love it later on. I ran a half marathon when I was 45 was my first one. So
good for you.
It's slow. It's something. Let's put it that way. Well,
it's what getting about out you?
It is. That's and it's being fun. Outside. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you, Natalie?
Oh gosh, I think I'm pretty boring. I feel like right now I'm definitely in the throes of toddler momhood. Mm-hmm. And if listeners can't tell, I feel like that keeps coming up, but trying to, you know, find time to work also. So I literally have no time for hobbies, and any book I read is like on discipline or potty training or whatever.
So, nonfiction.
Yeah. It's so sad. But one thing I guess that comes to mind that people wouldn't necessarily know by looking at me is that I'm half Colombian. My mom grew up in Colombia. Most of that side of my family still lives there. So we went there a lot growing up, and I grew up bilingual, bicultural. So I'm very proud of that heritage. And yeah, I'm just That's a really super cool. pale human. So people are usually very shocked to hear that. And like,
you break out the Spanish. And
strangers hear me like speaking Spanish to my son or like, I don't know, just randomly. And they're like, how did you learn? You know? And anyway, it's just like a little fun fact I keep hidden. In here in the DC area, like, I feel like everyone speaks Spanish or, you know, so you have people like having conversations and don't realize that I'm like next to them, totally understanding everything they're saying.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. But it comes in handy sometimes. Okay?
Do you ever interrupt and tell them something like, stop talking about me?
I think I did like once, or like, I'll just like a couple times. Like if it's going in a direction where I'm like, then I'll just kind of interject and be like, oh, by the way, I can understand you.
That's hilarious. See, that's a skill I want to have. But I'm not willing to put the time into it. So that's the issue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, did you guys have anything else you wanted to add before we close out?
What's your fun fact, Jen?
Yeah, I want to know.
Wait, we're not turning the tables on me.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I have to think about it. What's my fun fact?
It's hard.
It is hard. But I gave you warning. I didn't have any warning.
Well, I didn't clearly take it. So,
I think I shared it because I ran a half marathon when I was 45. A lot of people, I don't look like a runner. I'm not really a runner, but I really do like it. And it's something I came to. I also never drank wine or coffee until I was 35. And that is because I lived in North Dakota. And that's my whole explanation for that.
For all three of those.
Old.
There you go. You have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
I love it. Why am I interviewing journalists? This is not fair.
My other little brother moved to Minot in 6 months.
Sorry. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Why not Minot? Reasons, the reason.
He's actually positive.
We enjoyed it. My kids loved it. What were you saying, Natalie?
Oh, I was just saying, you're like, why am I interviewing journalists? And I guess like I do go into journalism mode so frequently and I don't even realize that. Like, I was hosting a baby shower the other day and I was, you know, asking, my friend had already actually had the baby. She was premature. So I was asking her all these questions about like the birth and then like the baby and stuff. And the other people like, and you're on a podcast and you didn't know it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It's fun. And I posted this on my Instagram today. I got to interview Chris Hemsworth a couple years ago.
I saw that. That's so cool.
So I always forget about stuff like that. And I go, you know, that's kind of a cool thing. It was just so fun. The whole experience was just surreal. I'm sure you guys have done these, but I had never been on this sort of thing where they, you know, Warner Brothers picked us up from the airport, brought us to the hotel with a hotel I could never have stayed in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me today and for all you're doing over at the Spouse Angle.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And listeners, you can find more at thespouseangle.com, as well as find the Spouse Angle podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening to the Mill Spouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on social media as @millspousematters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.